Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and this is Ann McNeil coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida, on behalf of the National Association for Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black Women in Construction, and as the voice of Black Women in Construction, our vision is to help African-American young girls in junior high school, and colleges to consider coming into the construction industry. And today, our show is going to basically share with our listening audience a little about the organization, why we were founded, what our goals and our vision and our aspirations are, and how we can help add value to the construction industry. We are accepting callers, so if you're interested in joining in this conversation, please press 1 on your phone. And at this time, what I'd like to do is to just give you a little history about how the organization was started. This is Ann McNeil, and as the first African-American female contractor in the state of Florida, I travel a lot. And as I travel, I would see many African-American females in key positions and key roles in the private sector and also in the public sector. And as a result, we would talk, but there would always only be maybe one. One here, one there, but not very many of us. And then the same as we would go out and we would speak to young students, mostly African-American schools, and the girls would look at us and think, I could never do that. I could never walk around and wear a hard hat and get dirty and be in that business. Well, in that business, for many of us, it includes wearing a suit, it includes wearing a hard hat, it includes being an architect, an engineer, or whatever it is that you choose you want to be. But when you think about the construction industry as a whole, normally it has been designated as an area for mostly white males. But as we continue to populate this industry, we continue to realize that there are opportunities in every single area of this industry for us as African-Americans and also just as people in general. Our vision was founded on the purpose of increasing the national awareness of African-American women in the construction industry. The charge of the National Association of Black Women in Construction is to advocate for Black women to further increase the opportunities of our members. Our mission is to build upon a solid foundation, strengthening the building blocks of Black women in construction by identifying new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social gateways throughout the world. Our vision is to build lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for Black women in this construction industry and also in our respective communities. Our goals are to recognize and support Black women in the industry. We also strive to foster partnerships between our chapters and other industry-related organizations. We will seek and achieve corporate partnerships and business opportunities for our members. That's a member benefit. We will also encourage and enhance educational opportunities for Black women interested in construction careers. We'll also establish scholarships and programs for high-achieving Black, young Black women who are looking to obtain a college degree in the fields of construction, engineering, architecture, in the areas of transportation, and many other industries. We also provide community service programs, such as One House at a Time, which is by providing industry-efficient upgrades in homes that are located in low-income areas. Faith in Action is another program that we have, which allows us to provide handyman services, drivers, and home care to low-income and elderly individuals. And I see that we have a caller. Call 904-300-8789. You are on the air. Good morning. Hello, caller 904-300-8789. Okay, I guess the caller can't hear me. All right, caller, when you get ready, you can go ahead and speak. I'm just going to continue to just share with our listening audience a little bit about who we are, what we do, and how we intend to do that. So, as I was saying, though, we also look at providing networking opportunities for Black women to meet and support, and we network with our members. And also, we also network with other people in the construction industry. Now, the strategies by which we will employ this is that we partner with other organizations in the industry, whether it is Hispanic, women, white, race-neutral. If it's construction and construction-related, we are looking at participating in the industry with those individuals. Now, in order to achieve this, we do have memberships, chapters throughout the United States. And if you are interested in participating in any of our activities, you can reach us by emailing us at info@manwood.org, or you can visit our website at www.nabwic.org. And I see we have some additional callers. Call 404-625-8505. You are listening to NABWIC Talks, and if you would like to participate in this conversation, just press 1 on your keyboard, on your phone, and you can speak. So caller from area code 904 and caller from area code 404. If you'd like to speak, just go ahead and speak. Your mic is open. Now, as I was giving some information about our organization, in the area of chapters and membership, J.C. Burton and Ravona Graham Mitchell are our representatives in the Atlanta area, and in the Jacksonville area, Deborah Thompson and Glenda Allen are our representatives in that area. The Miami area, Dorothy Brown Alfaro is our president in that area. And in the Metro D.C. area, Sheila Jones and Couture Drayton are our representatives in that area. We also have committees which consist of education and programs, ways and means, government affairs, international trade, finance, membership, marketing, and branding. Our organization strategies are to develop an annual meeting whereby we meet and we look at what are our goals for the next 5, 10, 20, 100 years. And then we do an assessment to determine how have we done for the last 6 months, the last 1 year, the last 2 years, the last 5 years. Pardon for the interruption. As I was saying, we have strategies which we look at what will we be doing and what will we want to have said about us 100 years from now. And with that vision in mind, it allows us to reach out into the future and then come back into the present and develop strategies and processes that will allow us to achieve those goals, because our vision is to increase the visibility and opportunities for all Black women in the construction industry, whether they wear a hard hat, whether they're walking around with architectural drawings in their hand, or whether they're an entrepreneur, that our strategies include improving our governmental and business performances. It also includes managing financials and risk to meet legislative and other requirements that impact African-American women in the construction industry. Our strategy also includes building capacity and resources to deliver future NABWIC strategies in this industry. We're also looking to increase our membership and our membership benefits. We're also looking to attract and retain a diverse and skilled board, state chapters, and committees. And also we're looking to improve and streamline our communications within the organization. Now, as you look at different opportunities and different people who impact what we do, there are many organizations such as the Association of Builders and Contractors, formerly known, basically known as ABC Construction. They have chapters all across the United States, and we have strategic partnerships with them throughout the United States. Another organization is the National Association of Women in Construction, better known as NAWIC. We also have an affiliation with that organization. Another organization that we have a strategic partnership with is the Hispanic Coalition of Contractors within the United States. Right at this time, I'd like to ask our listening audience if you are interested in participating in this conversation, because I am solo right about now, and we do have callers on the line, so if you would just press 1 on your line, you can participate in this conversation. Okay. All right, as we continue to discuss the National Association of Black Women in Construction and our strategic planning for the next 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and looking out to 100 years. Currently, as a part of our calendar, we are planning to participate in the Congressional Black Caucus, that conference that will be held in the Washington, D.C. area. And with that, we are planning on having a special reception and event on the Thursday of the conference. I don't have the dates exactly in front of me, but if you are interested in participating, you can go to our website, which is located at www.nabwic.org. And again, that's nabwic.org for the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And I see we have a number of different callers that are listening in this morning. Callers and NABWIC members, if you would like to participate in this conversation, please just press 1 on your phone, and I am opening all of your lines. This is Ann McNeil, a master builder, building stronger and better, president of the National Association of Black Women in Construction. Caller, if you are trying to speak, your microphone is open. All you have to do is just go ahead and start talking, because your line is open. All of your lines are open.
Good morning, Ann McNeil.
Thank you, Deborah Thompson. Good morning.
Good morning, Deborah Thompson in Jacksonville. It is a delight to hear your voice this morning, and sounds like everything is going very well with NABWIC. I am not going to be able to make it to the CBC, but did enjoy the experience last year. So I encourage everyone that can go to the Congressional Black Caucus in September to please try to attend. And, Ann, I know you're going to have a great agenda again, just as we did last year. And I know that reception with all of the very good people that showed up from the various organizations and from some of the agencies and departments of the United States government. So the FDIC, Michael Hollins, came also and gave us some very good information about minorities and women participating in acquisition of properties that had been foreclosed on. So we're going to be working with that here in Jacksonville through the NABWIC network. And just really thank you so very much for allowing us to be there, and I wish you guys have a great time again this year.
Thank you so very much for that, Deborah. Deborah, would you mind sharing with our listening audience, how did you come about becoming involved in NABWIC, and why are you still involved after all of these years, please?
I really don't know why I'm still involved, but something keeps attracting me. I think it's Ann McNeil. And, you know, you and I have been around for about 25 years, and around the state it has just been an awesome experience trying to get into the construction industry. I, on the end of consulting mostly, trying to make sure that small disadvantaged businesses and women get the opportunities that they deserve. They work so very hard on the technical side, so I've worked very hard on trying to make sure that they have all of the management foundation and bonding and financing and those kinds of things that are very necessary in this industry. So getting involved with NABWIC was a natural. I've been involved with the National Association of Minority Contractors, the National Association of Women in Construction, the NAACP with its economic development emphasis, the city of Jacksonville, and various other cities, Tampa, Fort Myers, Miami-Dade, Fort Lauderdale, just trying to make sure that women and minorities get into transportation. I did that for several years. So becoming a part of NABWIC is just a natural for me, and being a friend of Ann McNeil has just been an awesome experience.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for that, Deborah. And congratulations on your new mayor and what he has done and what he's representing for the city of Jacksonville.
Oh, yes. We're very proud of the mayor and some of the emphasis and some of the new things that he is kind of bringing into the forefront here in our city. And we're just hoping for great things and that, you know, that the spotlight will be on more minority participation in some of these things. But, you know, and that's why NABWIC is so important. It is very incumbent upon minorities and women, just make sure that we have the professionalism and reach out for the support of some of these organizations like NABWIC to build our teams and make them stronger, make us look stronger. Sometimes we don't do that as well as we should and falter trying to do things all on our own.
Well, Deborah, I have to give it to you because, you know, if there is a face in the state and across to the United States that represents black women in construction extremely well, I would have to say that it is your face, Deborah Thompson. Everybody who is anybody knows Deborah Thompson, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, any politician, especially in our state, every politician, I should say, in our state, definitely know you. So you have represented the NABWIC organization before it was even founded extremely well. And I think that this is one of the reasons why it's so vitally important that we connect as African-American women in this industry. We had a young lady over the weekend that found us on Google, actually, and she went online and she signed up, and her name is Marissa. I won't give her last name. And she works for a major firm, but she wanted to be connected with other people who looked like her in the same industry and did not know we exist. And just happened to go on Google and did a Google search, and now it popped up. So I do believe that we are, you know, the Harriet Tubmans and the Sojourner Truths of the future. And 100 years from now, people will look back and they will say, I am so glad those women decided to persevere and to endure and really hang in there with NABWIC during the, you know, foundational years of starting that organization. So thank you, Deborah, and all of the other women who are listening into this Blog Talk radio show, as we just really talk about today the organization. And for those of you who are calling in, or you may be listening to this show as a download in the future, you are tuned into the National Association of Black Women in Construction, and we are the voice of black women in construction. My name is Ann McNeil, and we're talking right now with Deborah Thompson. We have a number of our members who are on the line and who are listening in, and I just want to encourage all of you to continue to do and follow your dream and do all that God has called you to do as it relates to providing for your family and for your employees in this construction industry. And I truly do believe that as long as we stay together as an organization and continue to work toward that vision of encouraging young black girls in junior high school, and colleges, and young women also to come into the industry and help, let us all support each other in this industry, we will do well and great things by doing good. So with that, we're going to prepare to close our show. And if there are any questions or comments, please press, you know, actually you can just go ahead and speak right before we wrap the show up. Any closing comments or questions by anyone before we wrap the show?
And I think I would just like to say again to all of the women throughout the United States, and especially in the state of Florida, that we need to also become very involved in the latest voter registration drives, get out to vote, and go ahead and participate. And as citizens of the United States, we need to participate in all of the elected and become very familiar with the people who represent us. Get involved with those things. And I think NABWIC has a great emphasis on not only pushing and working for women in construction, but to make sure that we connect with all of these networks that are out here. And that political system is something that I know sometimes we don't particularly like to choose and that kind of thing, but we have to get involved. And involvement shows that we are using our full rights and privileges as citizens of the United States. That also leads to us becoming active in our organizations, taking offices in these organizations, and helping to push our organizations forward. People need to know that we care about ourselves as women, as minorities, and as citizens of the United States.
Thank you so very much for that, Deborah, because you are absolutely right. And I wanted to share this story to just make the point. We've always heard about, in the last few months, actually, about the purging of the roles, and if you can't get a renewed driver's license, that you are not going to be able to vote. Well, I just want to share that I received my driver's license yesterday after going to the driver's license department for over 2 months, five trips, and every trip I had to come back with something different. I had to bring my passport. I had to bring my birth certificate. I had to bring my bank statement. I had to bring my a bill from home showing that I did live at this address. And if I tell you the number of times I had to go back down there, and then yesterday I would have had to go on one more time because the guy said that my name was different on my passport and my name was different on my birth certificate. But, of course, I got married. So I had, again, my point is this: without a driver's license, you can't vote. So what I would encourage everybody to do is do a write-in ballot. If you contact the department now and have them mail you your ballot, please encourage everybody to do a write-in ballot, because if you do that, you really circumvent right now. Republicans are 2-1, the Democrats, for doing write-ins. So, Deborah, you are just right on target, right on target. Thank you so very much for that.
Right.
And if anybody else have any questions or comments, I think that we did have one member who had a question. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Okay, Ravonna.
Yes,
Dr. Mitchell, go ahead, please.
Let me just say to you, Ann, that you are awesome, sister. You have a vision that you've always had for so long. And I think one thing I've got to say is that you've been able to implement your vision and share with the entire world. And for that, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. I know once we were in conversation and you were sharing a few books that you felt like everyone should pick up and read. One of them was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and also Acres of a Diamond. Can you just share with me why, or and the listeners, why you felt those books were important for everyone to literally just pick up and have in your collection and read it often?
Thank you, Ravonna, so very kindly for that question and that comment. First of all, in my life, on December 31st, 1979, at 9 p.m. in my home, I picked up a copy of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill and began to read the book. As I began to read the book began to read me. And to fast forward from 1979 up until August the 8th, 2012, that book, in addition to the book, and we all know what the book is, the Bible, but those two books have had a guiding force in my life. And the reason why Napoleon Hill's book was so vitally important for me is because he asked four questions which were a part of his Six Steps to Riches, and I would like to share that with everybody who's listening on this call and people who will download this show later in the future. And the first question he asked was, how much money do you want? And so think about that, each one of you. How much money do you want? The second question he asked was, what will you give in return for the money? In other words, what kind of product or service will you provide for that money? The third question he asked in the book was, by what date do you want to have the money by? You've got to be specific, not a wandering generality. Put a date to it. The fourth question he asked was, right now, stop what you're doing basically right this moment and write out a detailed action plan of exactly how you're going to get that money. So that night in 1979, I stopped what I was doing and I attempted to write the answers to each one of those questions, and I could not do it. I could not. Because for the first time in my adult life, I realized that I had more bills than I had money. Or worse than that, I was hopeless and I saw no possible way of changing my situation. After having gone to school, gotten a good education, gotten a college degree, and at that time I was working in a corporate job, and I couldn't see how I could make it. The second book, Acres of Diamonds, Mr. Cornwell that wrote that book, basically talks about the fact that everything you need, I mean, the book is a very small book. You can read it in a day. It's in the palm of your hand, almost like a mini book, but so very powerful, so very powerful. And the author is a minister, and basically he says that our religion has bound us to believing that it's righteous to be poor, but we can't pay our bills. Most religion, if you will, not all, but most. And so he talks about the fact that he tells a story that this guy, his name was Al-Hafed, and he woke up one morning, he was happy and content. Everything was fine, everything was perfect. Had a little home, had a stream in the back, family, everything was wonderful. But the priest came by this particular day and told him about this wonderful diamond mine, that if he had diamonds, his life would be better, and he could give his wife everything she ever wanted, her and his children could have the best of everything. They could have a new home and all of these things. And the guy believed him. So that same day he woke up happy and content, he went to bed dissatisfied and discontent and very unhappy. So the following day he gets up and he gives everything away. He tells his wife to go live with her parents, and he sets off to search for diamonds. Now, this story, Ravonna, is very personal to me because he went all over the world looking for diamonds and eventually threw himself into the river and drowned because he never found the diamond. The same priest, months later, went by his home and knocked on the door, did not know how far it had gone, and man came to the door who had bought the house. And the priest came in, and he said, is Hafed here? He said, no, Hafed is not here. He sold the farm to me. So the priest looked on the mantle, and he said, oh, diamond, a beautiful diamond. Where's the diamond? He said, that's not a diamond. I found that big rock in my backyard. So the guy said, what do you mean? He said, yes, yesterday I was out walking, and I was looking at the beautiful stream, and I saw something glittering in the stream. And I went out and I picked it up and I saw these little rocks, and then I found this really, really big rock, and I just thought I'd just bring it in and just put it on top of the mantle and look at it. So the priest said, no, sir, that's a diamond. And the guy said, that's not a diamond. This is a big rock. So the priest said, no, we're going to take it and have it appraised. They took it and had it appraised, and Ravonna, they found that that big rock was the largest diamond find ever.
Wow.
The diamond was in the man's backyard. Now, the author who wrote the book, and I reread this book every 2 or 3 years, the author that wrote the book, the moral of the story is this. As we travel around the world looking for great riches, looking for business opportunities, looking for customers and clients, they're in our backyard. They're in Jacksonville. They're in Atlanta. They're in West Palm Beach. They're in Riviera Beach where we grew up. So my point is this. In rereading that book, it caused me to return home to my roots, to Riviera Beach and to West Palm Beach. Why? Because I left many years ago after the beginning of Reading, Think, and Grow Rich, traveling the world looking for great riches in the form of contracts and construction. But I found them in my backyard right here at home. And that is why now I have a strategic plan for how to help build the community from which I grew up. And I'd encourage each and every one of us to do that, because as business people, we're always looking for new clients, and we're always looking for new business opportunities. We're always looking for new profits. There are really only three ways to get more money. One, you increase the profits that's coming to you from your existing clients. You get new clients, or a combination of the two. So with that, you know, I'm really, really big on books and how they have a way of changing our mindset. And when our mindset changes, we have a renewing of the spirit. And when our spirit changes, our life changes, and therefore our profit changes. So, again, thank you. I know it's a lengthy response, but you just hit on a really, really exciting topic for me, which are books and reading.
But I appreciate that. Thank you. So much. That was great. And
yes, Deborah.
This is Deborah. I just wanted to end on this last note. Again, with Napoleon Hill, he did a lot of influencing other people. And along with that book, I have been reading several other books. I mean, he also encouraged a gentleman to do a book on looking for blacks, and that was Dennis Kimbrough, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. I've also read books by Jim Smith, who tells us to move from average to awesome, and The Seven Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth by Stephen Little. All of these people have been influenced by that one book. I follow Earl Nightingale with The Strangest Secret. And again, all these people are talking about looking within yourself, taking the strengths and weaknesses that we all have, and turn those weaknesses into strengths by pulling on the attributes, the knowledge, skills, abilities, and talents of other people around us. And when we do that, we build a strong nation. So I just wanted to just add that in. I mean, you guys just went off on a real tough note, but I think our work is within, and we have to then show on the outside what we have gained, and then we can reach out and pool and strengthen others. So NABWIC is a good opportunity for us to do that. I think we need to do that, and step by step, we can eat that big elephant.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so very much for that, Deborah. And thank you also for the conversation, Ravona. It has really been a wonderful show. And we want to thank all of our callers for calling in, because today's show really has been about the organization itself, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And next week's show, we will have a wonderful guest, but you're going to have to call in to find out exactly who that person is. If you're interested in participating in any of our future shows, you can reach us by emailing us, at info@nabwic.org. You can email us at info@nabwic, that's NABWIC.org. And if there are any other questions or comments, we'll take them. Other than that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show, and I want to thank all of you for calling in and all of our listeners who are listening to us online today. Any other questions or comments before we wrap up the show? No, great.
Thank you so much, Anne. A great job. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you. You have been listening to NABWIC Talk. Find out more about the organization by going to www.nabwic.org, and we will see you on the radio next Wednesday. Good day. Thanks.
morning.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you get. I know it's a song or anything, but I just want to see you in a moment.
Doubt
if
they
are
familiar.